Okay, we're recording. Let's go ahead and call the meeting to order. Jeannie, you want to do roll call?
Chair Doyle?
Here.
Director Cooper? Absent. Okay, and Director Phillips?
Here.
Okay, and I'd like to acknowledge that we have Jeff Carter, District Counsel, Mark Adams, District Engineer, and Mike Butler, our water operator, in attendance, as well as Jeannie Trezino, Administrative Assistant. And we have a guest, Brenda McLaughlin, a customer of the district.
Okay, I guess we could open it up for public comment. Brenda, that's not for you. We have your item agendized. So there's nobody else from the public on the meeting. So we're good there. Item three present. Oh, no, let me go back up and get the remote teleconference resolution. Kevin, you want to make a motion?
Yep, I'll make a motion to approve resolution 2208 as agendized.
We got a motion. I'll second it. Any public comment? All right, Jeannie, let's go ahead and do a vote.
Chair Doyle?
Aye.
Director Cooper? Absent. Director Phillips?
Aye.
Thank you.
All right. No public comment.
Matt, do you want to just take this real quick at that point to talk about in person?
Yeah, maybe I could. So I think, Jeff, unless you see any problems with it or anybody else has any issues with it, I'd like to go back to in-person meetings starting in September. I think every other board that I've seen either I think we're the last of the Zoomers, but everybody else has gone back to online. So I think it's probably time for us to do the same and proposing to do that with the September meeting.
There's absolutely no legal impediment to that. Okay. Barring a new outbreak.
Right.
Yep, Kevin, I concur.
Issues?
So Jeannie, just for that next board meeting, we will resume back into in-person at the district office as the location.
Okay, will do.
Thank you.
Public comment presentations. We've talked about consent agenda, Kevin.
Yep, I'll make a motion to approve as presented.
Approval or a motion on there. I'll second that. Jeannie.
Okay. Chair Doyle?
Aye.
Director Cooper? Absent. Director Phillips?
Aye.
Thank you.
Okay. We're through item four. Item five is a regular agenda. But as mentioned, we have Brenda McLaughlin online. And Brenda, to start us off, welcome. And maybe go ahead and state what you've got going on.
Sure. Thank you so much for putting me on the agenda today. I've been asked to be put on the agenda last month. It somehow didn't get on there. So I'm happy that we finally got this taken care of. Basically, this is about a letter that I received back in April and immediately called and talked to Jeannie at the office. And I believe that you're aware of that. And it's stating that we had a meter put on our property and that we would be changing to metered plus the rate for using the water that way. I believe, and then Jeannie and I were talking about, I've owned the house since 1974 and grandfathered in, and believe I should be actually being just sent a bill just for the regular rate, flat rate. And I just want to make sure that that can be changed, please, because I'm still getting metered rate bills. And we've been paying some every month. We're not sure like how much we're supposed to be paying. And we want to make sure that this gets all rectified and taken care of.
Okay. I've read through the memo that I believe you sent or was put together Jeannie, actually from you. And it looks like we had a base meter or monthly usage meter on there. And then we at some point switched it to a meter. And it looks like we weren't reading the meter for some time. Is that correct, Jeannie?
That is correct.
But I believe if you should not have been reading the meter in the first place because of the way that was set up. We didn't ask for the meter to be put on our service. I believe it was probably put on when our neighbors sold their house a couple of years ago, and they were probably working on it and decided, oh, we'll just put two meters on there at the same time.
Mike, do you recall what we did on this one?
This was before my time. And I think that why there was some confusion about this was because there's two meters in one box. So for the most of the time, what Bobby and I do is we dig out these meter boxes to where we can access the meter. And then anything else, we kind of just leave the dirt in there because every single month, gophers, any pests will come in the box and like eat the, like try to get bugs and push dirt around and stuff. So we were digging out a meter box because it was just, it really needed to be dug out. A gopher had got in there. And I noticed that there was another meter in the box. It was, I think it's a little bit lower than the other one, but they're right next to each other. So it was just something that I caught, but this was before my time.
Yeah.
Can I ask a question real quick to Jeff?
Yes.
On this, Jeff, is there any such thing as a grandfathering in of a fixed rate?
I would assume that would be a policy of the district if it wanted to make one. I see nothing that would prevent it. The question is, in this subject case, the meter wasn't requested by the landowner, and apparently was installed without the landowner's knowledge. And the landowner had been on a flat rate prior to that time.
So, but isn't the requirement from the state of California to have all connections metered by a certain point in time, so to be in compliance with the state of California?
That is a direction the state is taking to conserve water, of course, and water use, and it's looking at requiring meter installations for all water service accounts.
So that's
in the future.
And, but isn't that future within 2 years?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Okay. So,
question, did we just start reading the meter on this in April?
Yes, we did.
Okay. You found it in April and you started reading it in April.
Yeah, I just recorded the data because I didn't know what we wanted to do with it. That was my thing to go about that. Some of these flat rates, go ahead.
Can I ask, just before we get into that, can I ask Jeannie one question? Has this meter been getting a flat rate, a current flat rate charge since when we can look back at it?
First, I want to acknowledge that Raymond Cooper has joined the meeting at 5:42. Second of all, in answer to your question, in looking back at the history on this account, which we have back to 2019 in our billing system, which is relatively new to the district, this account has been billed $35.07 as its flat rate charge, anyway, so that's what they've been charged through 2022 and is not in compliance with the rest of the district's rate schedule increases in the years 2022, 2021, and 2020.
So what's the current rate for the monthly flat rate?
The current rate for this account is $63.78. And as I said, she's the system has been billing, because of the way our system was set up, only $35.07 per month.
So $35.07 is the old base rate.
Correct. If I look at my history, it's the original base rate before the new rate schedule cycle was adopted.
And so in, let's just pick a month, July, so over the year, she this meter should have been billed $63.78, which is 78 cents, which is our monthly flat rate unmetered amount, or
in 2022.
For 2022, or the metered rate of $35.07 plus usage is the alternative to the flat rate.
Correct.
Okay. And Brenda, what you're asking for, or what you're saying, is that you want to stick with the base rate. You're on mute.
Yes, thank you. Yes, I do want to stick with the base rate. I believe that your rates did not go into effect until January of this year. So any past rates would not be, and you can't, plus you have not been monitoring or taking the meter reading as well too, so you have no way of knowing what we used. And we are only part-time people here at the house. We're gone approximately 5 months a year at least. So our usage is not very, very high as well, but we just thought a flat rate would be better. And you do have other customers. I think you should look at your history and look at your other customers that you have in the district that are also grandfathered in and are also doing a flat rate as well. So you might look at a whole history of all your customers and find out who they are. And I think obviously we were told quite some time ago that the reason you are grandfathered in is until you sell or do something with your property, that would be the rate. For instance, just like your taxes are on your property. Well,
unfortunately, that's not the way the water billing works. I mean, we have periodic through a proposition, Prop 218. Jeff can speak about it more than I can, but we go through a rate increase periodically that adjusts the rates on our flat rates and also our metered rates. And we went through one of those in 2020, I believe, which we had been allowed to increase the rates 10% a year for 4 years starting in 2020. And so
2018 was the last one. Yes.
Yeah.
So what we've done is we've changed the rates. The fact that your base rate stayed the same, Jeannie, just a question on that is was this a meter that was outside of the scope of the increase, or what is it still at the original monthly rate? Did this come up on our system?
I have noticed the unusual charges on this account for some time. I assumed it was some historical reason that I, as a new employee for the district, was not aware of.
So Brenda, I hear your idea and complaint, and I am sympathetic to it. I think what has happened is that there has been a error in billing for your meter. The one thing I want to bring up is that we do need to correct this error. I mean, that's just where we need to, because we need to charge everybody the same rate. And it might be cost savings to you to actually have the meter as a service charge and quantity charge, especially based on your
part-time.
And so, you know, what we can do is we can talk about, you know, where we stand and how we move forward with this. But the fixed rate will be readjusted if you want to stay at the fixed rate at the 60 whatever dollars it is, because that is the base rate. I can tell you, though, that the district is going to need to come into compliance with state law, that is all meters will need to be metered, all water services will be need to be metered, and there will be a service and quantity charge associated with that. So eventually we're going to get there with everybody. I don't have a problem if we want to grandfather you in for a specific period of time, but I'm just not sure if that's going to be the best financial decision on your side. But I think that we do need to correct the error that was established whenever it was with your service.
Along with the letter that I received from the district in April, I also received the Appendix A, which are the rate fees and charges. And these were effective as of January 1st of 2022. And these were updated and adopted. And there's a date on that as well, too, of the meeting. And that is at that time where the $63.78 flat rate was imposed and put on there. So I understand that and can see that.
Can I ask you one question? Is that a service charge base rate, or does it say flat rate?
It says flat rate. It's your Appendix A that was sent to me by your district office.
At $35 as a flat rate?
At $63.78.
Oh, 63. Okay. Sorry. Right. I missed.
And at that rate, we have the last couple of months, they've been reading our meter as well, too. And it goes over that $65. So when we have been home this month, the last month. So that's why we would like to just go ahead and go to the 63.78. I do not remember ever receiving anything from the district saying that rate was being changed from, say, the 35 and the from 218, from Prop 218, and that it was going to be raised. I'm sure we saw something maybe in the mail or maybe it was on, it was posted somehow. But so I understand that is going to be changing. But right now at this point, I would like it to have to be going back to the flat rate until you have a uniform action by the board because of Prop 218, that all of the rates are going to be changing from a flat rate to a metered rate.
So in the low months, and I see what you're talking about in July and August and even June, because it's been so dry, but from April and May and maybe several months before that and even into the winter, you're only at $35 a month. I mean, on average, we've seen where people going on a usage amount, especially for part-time people or non-big consumption or users of water, have saved considerable amount of money going to a metered rate. I think I would be okay with you at a flat rate, but I would also caution you against looking at the July and August. I mean, if I looked at my bill on, for July and August, I'd want to go on a flat rate too. But in November or October through May, it should be well below that average. I'm thinking it might be. It might be better on average to stay with the meter as a part-time resident. But again, I'd be okay grandfathering you back to the monthly flat rate for a certain amount of time until we turned everybody in the town over to a meter.
I'll make that motion to allow her to be on the flat rate until the deadline associated by the state to have all meter connections actually metered.
Brenda, is that okay with you?
That's fine. Yes, I after looking at like you said, June, July, and August, it was higher. And yes, it may be lower in those other months, but because we have no history, we don't know. Because we have no records of that.
Yeah, you just want a guaranteed $63.78 every month. Okay. I completely understand. So I'll go ahead and second that motion, and I guess we can take a vote on it, Jeannie.
Sure, Doyle.
Aye.
I want to make clear when that sunset date is. So let's there is a date when we have to have all the meters. There is a compliance date, so we want to make sure that sunset date's part of it.
And I will confirm that tomorrow in writing.
And then the other thing too is upon sale of the residence that it would then go to a metered rate. So this is only for the current occupant and owner of that, so that this is not something that transitions over.
Correct.
And yeah, that's something that's not going to happen, I don't believe. I've owned it for almost 50 years, so.
Okay. Sorry, Jeannie, back to you.
And I just want to clarify, well, we'll just continue. Director Cooper?
He said aye.
I can't. And Director Phillips?
Aye.
Thank you.
Brenda, would you like us to let you know when that date's going to be to switch over? Would you like us to follow up with you when that date is?
Very much so. I would appreciate having an official letter stating that all of the district, people, the customers are all being changed over at the same time. Yes.
Well, it might not be an official letter because it's a mandate from the state, or it could be a mandate from the state and that could change. So we'll let you know what their date is. And then once it becomes a mandate, we'll let you know.
Okay. And that's when everybody will be changed at the same time.
Correct.
Great. Thank you.
Thanks, Brenda.
Thank you. Take care.
Bye-bye. Okay, let's get back to.
Hey, Matt, I want to clarify something for Brenda, just so we're all on the same page here. There is a date when that compliance is due. Whether we meet that date or not is another story. It's very possible that we may not have all our meters switched, but that date is what's set forth by statute. So that's the one we need to hang our hat on. But it's very possible that we may not have everybody switched over by then.
Well, I think what Brenda would like is the date that we're being told to do it by the state, and then hopefully we'll have it done. I mean, we need to get it done.
Well, what I heard Brenda say is switched over when everybody else is, and that can't be guaranteed.
I would think that would be the fair thing to do, though, if you can't leave some customers dangling just because you haven't had a chance to change their meter as well. I would think you would do it all at the same time.
Right. Our goal would be to get them all switched over.
So the law is AB 2572. It was passed in 2004. It mandates that all water suppliers must install water meters on all customer connections by January 1, 2025. So this changeover will be happening for this district. We'll be planning for it to happen sometime by 2024.
And Matt, consistent with Brenda's concerns and the points you raised, I think that it is incumbent upon us to get a newsletter out to all metered, or a letter out to all metered customers that this will be the date that a meter shall be required.
Good point, Jeff. Absolutely.
I think that's a really good line of communication and good transparency.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, in the continued effort of transparency, it's very possible that we may not have everybody switched over by January 1, 2025. But that's the date we're shooting for. That's the date that we're required, but we may end up being out of compliance because that's a lot of work that has to happen in a relatively short period of time.
But you've known this since AB 2572 was passed, which is, what did you say, Jeannie, 2004? Something like that?
Correct.
So you've known since 2004, so that's a while.
Well,
just an observation.
You're absolutely correct. But today is August 16th, 2022, and we're no closer today than we were on August 16th, 2021.
What do you mean, Raymond? We got Brenda's already ready to go. So we're one ahead.
See?
Come on, give us some credit.
And we didn't even ask for it. You guys just did it. Yeah.
Hey, I'm just trying to be open and honest.
All right.
How many others are there?
I think we got 200 fixed rates.
That's about right.
Well, good luck.
Thank you. All right. Raymond, anything else?
Nope. I said my piece.
good deal. Let's move on to item six, correspondence. Is this the draft of the drought notice you received from, is that from the county or state? Is this the resolution, Jeannie?
Let me go through and see what I put in the packet. Hang on. I think it's from the county. Yeah, I sent the county's drought task force report dated July 26th.
Yeah, that was a good report. Is there anything we need to do with it?
No, it's just basically to follow up on some of the items I discussed on the last meeting about compliance with AB 552 for small water suppliers. And some of it, there was the issue of becoming a member of the mutual aid network, and then the water well level reporting.
It sounds like this is more information on when or if or when your well goes dry, you're eligible for water delivery. It seemed like it was more about just being able to apply for that. And since we provide our wells for the district and we haven't had that, it sounds like that's more of the, you can get water delivered if you need to. Okay. Item seven, water operations business. Mike, take it away.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Great.
Let me see here. Sorry, I'm working while I'm doing this. It's crazy right now. Okay, so for the 7.1.1, the Sonic well sensor update, that's been installed at the library site. It recently came in just a few days ago, and if anybody, or I didn't bring it up or mention it earlier, this unit, it's a fixed unit, and so it's made to be installed in a fixed position, like in a control box or something of that nature. But what I did is I bought a shockproof case, and I like a camera case, and I mounted it like a PVC foam board. I mounted the controller, and I got a nice power supply with a cooling fan. And basically what I'm trying to do with this, is instead of getting three sensors, one per well, I'm just going to make it to where I can easily move them around from well to well, and then have a memory card for each well. That way we can do some data logging, but we can spend the money that we'd spend on the other two on something else. So it's installed, it's reading, it's logging the static water level every hour. That's how I have it set right now. I can change it later, but just for curiosity's sake, I kind of wanted to see what like a month's worth of data would look like. What else was I thinking? And then our static water level at library site, pumping water level when it's moving around like 45 cubic feet per minute, which is the max, is around, say 89 feet, give or take, from where the sensor is located above the ground. So
that's actually
installed, pretty, working there. Go ahead.
That seems pretty good, huh?
Yeah, I mean, it's all kind of relative. I don't have any well data for any other wells around the area, so I'm not quite sure. I know that Butte Creek Estates, when we sounded the well that we put a pump in over there, it was around that area as well. So, that's in a whole nother location. I mean, it's kind of far away, but yeah.
Right.
There's that. And then for the Cal Fire ISO survey, I submitted everything I've given everything to them. So I haven't heard anything back from them. I'm assuming that no news is good news. They got all their data they needed. So that can, I mean, there's no real update on that. And then moving on to the log.
Hey, Mike, real quick. On the well data, would you mind, once you get a month's worth of data collected, can you send that out? I'd love to look at that.
Oh, absolutely. I'm definitely going to be putting that in our, because I'm also adding the cubic feet produced. Sorry, I haven't really been up on that, but I'm adding that to the log as well, the monthly cubic feet, so we can contrast like water produced towards water sold. And then yes, I'll add that. Now, question, would you guys like me to rotate it, like rotate, let's say like every, like, do we want to rotate like once a week or like every 10 days, or in terms of like rotating the sonic sensor to each well, or do we want to just leave it on library since that's our primary for a while? It's kind of up to you guys.
Raymond, do you have an opinion on that?
Well, you guys know my opinion. I don't want to buy two other ones. But...
What's your opinion?
To buy two other monitors.
Is that a possibility, Mike?
Well, oh, absolutely. This was just like a test run. I didn't want to buy three and then have them like not be very good products, you know. But you guys want three installed, like totally can get that done.
That was our discussion. That's where we ended up, just trying one for now. So I would say leave it at the library site. Let's see how it works out, and you know, we can swap it if there's something we want to go check. But I think just for judging its performance, leaving at the library side would be good, and then, you know, we can decide whether we want to get a couple more or not.
Definitely. All right, good idea.
Cool. All right, so moving on to the operator log, there's just the customer service, your various customer service issues. I had a 6 a.m. I had a gal, she called me, she said she had no water, and her husband left the water off to the house on accident. I turned the water back on. I think we can do a service call if you'd like. I think that's what I mentioned to Jeannie, because, I mean, it's his fault, really. But there's that. And then Bobby and I, we found that when we were doing meters, we found a leak near Almendra, and it was, basically, we got that fully exposed. This was the day that we rented a back trailer for a few things. So we exposed the meter for Chris to come in and do his work. Leak, so he could come in and do his work. And then we also exposed a buried meter that's like buried under. There's this tree that's was alive and now it's not, and it like inundated our root box, our meter box with like roots and dirt, and it was a real pain in the butt to get out. So we got that exposed with the vac trailer. And then for the leak behind Florida, that was there's a oak tree, obviously, at 2368 Florida, that had caused a leak. Actually, I don't know if you guys remember the Pattersons a while back. They were having issues because they wanted to shut their water off, but they had like an old valve, so we had to kind of get the meter to, I don't know, it was a while ago. But this tree had caused damage to their service line. So we cut out a root there. And then after Bobby and I got it all exposed, we found two other big roots that were pushing on our 2-inch, like a 2-inch riser. And basically it bent like this distribution manifold. So we got that all exposed, got all the parts together so that we could make sure that, you know, when we have our contractor come in, for sure, there's the leak. There's the parts to fix it. They get in, they get out. And we got the parts. And then on the 18th, we met with Brown to, do both repairs. They backfilled with sand because there's a lot of gravel around where these leaks were at. So we backfilled with some sand and obviously absolutely pressure tested. And no, there was no leaks there. And then I met with Ideal Steel to do the covers for the tanks at the Holland site and at Alley site, and the covers turned out really great. I'm glad that we got them. And while they were doing work, I just decided to paint the hydrant at the Holland site and paint a couple of valve boxes and, or valve boxes and kind of reset them because they've been ran over a couple of times, so I got them leveled out. There's that, and then just pulled samples, our annual samples, our quarterly samples, got those going, and that was basically it for the month.
Okay. On the waterlog, Mike, on the first page, is that the one where the husband accidentally shut it off? Is that a billable event, or what are we doing with that one?
It should be billable.
Jeff, do we have that ability to bill that out?
Explain the situation with the accidental shutoff of the valve.
No, so the wife called called Mike to come and take a look at the. She had no water pressure. He came out. Looks like spent 2.5 hours and realized by mistake the husband turned off the isolation on the house, and so.
I was
probably only there for maybe.
2.5 hours by the district is cheaper than 2.5 hours by a plumber.
And just so you know, that two and a half hours, that wasn't all at her house. I was probably there for like maybe a half hour. Because what I did is I got out, I checked both sides, both her neighbors to see if they had water pressure. Because it's like, it's kind of weird that you don't have water pressure. And then, and then I went around, I kind of just inspected her yard, looked for leaks, everything. And then she showed me like, oh, look, you know, the water's barely coming out as we have no water pressure. And it's barely kind of like squeaking by. And then I went outside and there was like a gate valve that was partially shut. It wasn't cranked down all the way. And that's why she was getting like this hissing sound because she had a minor pressure, but it was like, you know, it was like a leak probably. Like I would associate it with a leak from a service line, a bad leak, but it was just, yeah, her husband left the gate valve off. Maybe a half hour max.
Jeannie, do we have a flat service fee that we charge when Mike has to report to a property?
Yes, we have a 30, let me double check and see what's on our form here. We have a $50 service trip charge.
Sounds to me like that would be the appropriate fee.
That seems reasonable.
It's way cheaper than the plumber.
All right, let's. Can we add that to their next bill, Jeannie?
I can do that.
All right, Mike, what else?
I think that's all I got for you. I mean, we got the work order report. I want to start chipping away at that this month. The last 2 months, it's just been insane. So I'm working on those. But yeah, that's basically it. I'll just leave it for the next board meeting. I just did some work. We have four hand wheel valves here and in Durham. I think, five. And we've gotten, I think, four out of the five replaced. So there's just one left now from that era. So that's what I did this month, but that'll be for next month.
Okay. Sounds good, Mike. Appreciate that. Does anybody have any other questions for Mike? So hearing none, we'll move along to general business. Item 8, Mike, I think maybe you or Mark or both or whatever are up first on the bid package for Brown Faber. Any update on that?
I haven't really pursued it that really much. To be honest with you, I'm really sorry to say this, but I've been kind of thinking about redoing the parts list just because brass is insane right now. It is absolutely insane. And I wanted to maybe just at least get a comparison of doing it in a schedule 80 PVC schedule, that the gray stuff. Just it's so widely available, and in this time of scarcity for parts, I've actually been using that to repair service lines, and it's awesome because it's so cheap. All the fittings are cheap. You know, it's an abundant resource, and just, you know, I was going to do all the service lines in poly, but just again, brass, it's insanely hard to get a hold of. And then it's also through the roof. So that's one of my goals this month, is to put together a parts list to just kind of compare what it'd be like to do it in schedule 80 PVC as opposed to poly. So that's where I stand with that.
Okay. Sounds good. Next one, 8.1.1.2 capital improvement plan. These have been on here. Mark, I guess this would probably be one for you. I guess we got to sit down and start to discuss some stuff.
I've updated our, I met with Mike and got a list of some items, and pretty much have some costs put together for some additional items that should go on there. Mostly minor, they're not the project, you know, pipeline replacement projects, but it's stuff that, you know, talking to Mike, we need to get in the budget and try and check off. And then I've kind of categorized it, and I just need to get a little more work on some costs, but kind of grouping it. One idea I had was to fit with a rate increase. You know, what could we logically afford to say, you know, if we did a rate increase, a group of capital projects over some period of time, 3 years, 5 years, something like that, that we could start to pay for with funds as we raise them with the rate increase. And so one of the things I wanted to do is, you know, maybe with maybe at a committee level.
Yeah.
Discuss that, kind of go through that and just get some feedback.
So yeah. That would be on the administration level or on the, on with Raymond?
Either way, however you guys want to go through, want me to do that.
Well, why don't we,
if we're going to meet next week, invite. I'll give you, show it to you quickly what I have, and then let you decide how you want to move forward with that. How's that sound?
That'd be great. Okay. 8.1.1.3, the sealed meter and the incursion of district easement. Those are kind of two, Jeannie, do we have policies to review on these, or
what? Matt, I am at fault. I have draft in my office, the drafts of both of these that I haven't completed and sent out, but they should be sent out by early next week, if not this week. And okay. The directors will each get their copies too.
Okay, and that's on both the sealed meter and the damage caused by trees.
Yes.
Okay. All right, Jeff, thank you. The annual audit, Jeannie, you have an update on that one?
I have started. I coordinated with Cheryl, our bookkeeper. She has sent some materials over to John Warren, and I have to compile my stuff, and then we need to set a date for John to come in office and actually review the physical documents. So I don't have a timeline on when that will be done, but I hope to have a good update for you next next meeting.
Sounds great. Then he has everything he needs to do the audit.
I have to go through his checklist. He has some of the materials that Cheryl was able to send right over, and then there's other materials that I have to compile for him.
Sounds great. Mark, the USBR grant and lead service laterals replacement project timeline.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything back here. Anything, Jeannie, from?
Just today, I received a letter from the new contract officer at the Bureau of Reclamation requesting a few items from us, from me, in terms of she needs an update on contacts, point of contacts for the grant. Yeah, and that's basically it. She just identified herself as the new grant management specialist for the Bureau of Reclamation on this grant. So hopefully once I get back to her and give her what she has requested, her name is Sin Romansky. Anyway, she will have what she needs and they can go ahead and approve. I was gonna circle around because one thing that's still floating out there is actually an agreement for the cultural resource assessment. Mark Adams identified a consultant for us. They received the information that they need, and the question was whether they should be a sub-consultant under North Star or contract directly with the district, and we weren't going to move forward on either of those options until we knew or had more certainty that the grant itself would be extended since it expired last year. So it sounds like we are at the stage now where the grant will be extended. We will get those grant monies in. So I guess now it's like, what do the directors want and what does Mark recommend for how this cultural resource assessment should be contracted? Does that sound right, Mark?
Yeah, so I think G said we wanted to get an acknowledgement that they're extending our deadline. So sounds like they are. So before I spent money on the cultural resources assessment, so we have a proposal from Jensen. I can just run it through and bill it as part of our monthly bill or have him contract directly to the district. I just recommend he be a subcontractor to us so that keep it simpler for you guys.
So I recommend that too, but is there a way that portion reimbursable through the grant?
That I don't know.
So just if we can check on that to see if there is, then we just separately make sure that that's something that we can bill direct. If we can just double check that before we do that, if we need to do a direct contract to make sure it's reimbursable, then we'll do it that way. I agree, it's easier to go through you if we can just do it that way and get it reimbursed. If there is reimbursable fees through that, that would be the best way.
Yeah, okay.
I'll check that.
All right. Anything else, Mark?
Nope.
Okay. 8.13 and Jeff, the easement agreement.
I have a draft of that. I will be shooting it to Mark to review now that I have the draft and make certain that complies. He's provided me with the legal description, so that should be no problem.
Okay.
Mark and I will be meeting next week. If there's anything to change, we'll discuss it at that time.
Sounds good. The biennial conflict of interest update, Jeff, is that?
My initial review is that we are fine, no revision is needed. I'm double checking. The last draft of the conflict of interest code I had was 2018, but it appears the one in effect is 2017. So I'll have to compare it to the 2017 resolution, 2017-03. Conflict of interest code.
It looks like we had a date to reply to county council by
August 1. They are patiently awaiting us to send the form in. It's a simple okay. form saying that we are compliant.
Is that something that I need to sign, or is that a, what is that?
Jeannie or you can sign. Yes, that will be perfect.
All right. If Jeannie can sign, that's even better.
Good.
Okay. Development projects, Jeff, how are we doing on the Farm Bureau project?
I have received some information regarding the project, and I think that I will just have to do our standard agreement. We'll serve application and letter to them once we get the information. So again, Mark and I will be meeting next week and be going over that as well.
Okay, so we're still holding off on the WILSERV letter that...
That's, I know you're being hounded by the Farm Bureau on that.
Not hounded, but yeah, he's checking in, yeah.
Did they give you any details of the project?
I don't have any additional details on the project.
No, just what they initially submitted.
Okay, so what are we, I mean, I know Jeannie's not maybe not being hounded, but they need that to move forward. Is that, are we still considering that, or is that just, we just need to get them a letter?
The latter.
Just a WILSERV, okay.
Yeah, they just want a WILSERV letter, and we used to send out WILSERV letters like issuing antibiotics every time you had a sniffle. And then we realized that maybe we're making commitments we couldn't comply with in the future. So now we're a little more careful about it. And we do need some information as to water requirements, usage like that.
Yeah, we need to have Mark look this over to make sure it's even feasible.
Exactly. Mark,
but what is that line down that street? It's got to be six inch, right?
8 inch.
So there's eight.
Yeah.
I mean, they're going to have to pull quite a bit of water for us not to be the serve.
Right. So what the problem is fire flow at the hydrants. And so we've advised them that we have limited hydrant flow there, but we should have plenty of water to serve them.
We have limited hydrant flow with an 8 inch.
Yeah. The ISO survey.
Yeah.
They wanted to know if at across the street, if we could do like 5,000 to 7,000 gallons a minute.
But that was for the Keeney project, right?
Yeah, but so a commercial project, they might come back, with 1,500. We can't get 1,500 out there.
You can't get 1,500 out of that 8 inch?
8 inch pipe?
Because it comes through, it still has to come through town.
Oh, because there's not that pressure there?
And demand and stuff like that. So I'd say that, 1,200 something might be the top end of what we could do there.
Okay.
I thought that hydrant on the other side of the tracks, which I believe this is on the same line as this. I thought that hydrant on the west side by Dollar General was like 3,000 or 3,500.
No, I don't think so.
Didn't they use that with the pumper truck
Yeah, they did. Kevin had them connect there because they connected down by Alvendra and couldn't get water.
Right. I thought that was, I thought that adequately provided water to their pumper truck, which was that big aerial lift, which is.
Oh, I don't know. I'll check with Kevin to see how much he thought we were putting through it. When we ran the, water model, 1,500 on a dead end 8 inch is about the max.
Okay. Well, whatever the model says, I trust that. So, all right. Sounds good. So we'll get that to them. based on whatever that model says. The Sierra Water utility contract renewal, Raymond, or do we have an update on this?
Yes, again, I have basically rolled out the old draft that we had used last time. I discussed it briefly with Mike as to the information we'll need, and he's providing that information. And I should have that in draft form for him and for the board to look at tomorrow.
Okay. Sounds good. Jeannie, annual audit. How's that going?
The RFP search was unsuccessful. My guidance from the last board meeting was to start sending out emails to likely audit firms, and I have not proceeded on that. I think I know I checked. I believe Jeff was going to send me some suggestions. I got stuck on the kind of language to use. I wasn't sure like what legally was appropriate. So my apologies. I did not send those out, but
Jeannie, I'll send you
I think all I want right now is just some language to use.
Okay.
I have a pretty solid list from CSDA, the California Special Districts Association. I have a pretty solid list from there and from some discussions that have been gone on. This is a statewide issue, I think, to find reasonably priced audit firms for small districts or special districts. So if I could just get some language to use, and I'm probably overthinking it, but I was just like, I don't want this to come back and be a bad RFP. So anyway, that's what I'd like, Jeff. I'll send you an email so it'll be your trigger.
Perfect.
For a reminder. So, okay.
And if I may add, Thermalito for 2 years has used a firm, a very reasonably priced firm, a small firm out of the Sacramento area. And it's familiar with irrigation district operations. And that may be one of the first letters that we send out to that firm.
What was the name of the firm?
I don't know if I sent it to you. It's a small firm. I think it's a 3 or 4 member firm, and all they do are governmental audits. I want to say
I'll help out too on that. I think there's some small firms here locally that might still be doing audits. I'll see if they're interested. And then I'm going to Cal Cities conference here in the beginning of the month. I'll see if there's some connections there that I can try to make to see if they're interested in making their way up to the North State.
I will tell you, I did send an email to and had some back and forth with Fector and Company.
Yeah.
And they declined. So.
They declined. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And I'll even tell you from the town's perspective, we had an auditor that went MIA for about 6 months. I mean, so I do think it is a statewide issue, but we'll,
yeah.
I'll try to do my best in helping that.
Okay. We've got two items, memorandum to the board. Brenda's was one. I think we successfully took care of that. Item 8.5.1. Mark, do you want to, is this part of our Thursday review?
Tracy, this is for the well?
Yeah.
I really didn't have any input on that. There's the Jeannie, you know, found that article about some policy stuff they're doing down the Bay Area.
Okay.
As far as new wells, it's kind of they're not saying no new wells, but they're saying, hey, if you put a well in, you need to determine the impacts of the well. So I'm sure that puts a little silence to the well drilling activity.
Well, I think that's kind of what the committee came up with, and that was I didn't know, since you were on vacation, if you wanted to add anything on that, but the committee met and discussed the well and what that would mean for the district. And I think a couple things came up. You know, the impact on the district itself, obviously, you know, we're trying to provide water for everyone, but, you know, if there is a requirement to do this, Kevin, you had some ideas about maybe what that could mean. Do you want to add anything to that as far as what we would require if we did even look at that?
Yeah, so my first initial thought is no, because I think that we as a district are about eliminating personal wells, because we have a municipal water service provided to all customers. And with Sigma, we all understand that, you know, groundwater issues are just at the forefront of regulation. And we're actually in a cone of depression here in under our current wells. If there was an idea that we would allow it, I would only, my personal recommendation would be to meter the well and to allow the district to have full access to that meter, and that the only time that meter or that well would be operational would be during an emergency time, and that there be recourse if that well was used during non-emergency times based on that, and then having a major backflow intercept between their property and ours with, you know, annual checking of that as a requirement on them.
So basically you're talking about a meter on their well, you're talking about Trites doing an annual backflow assessment and verification, and you're talking about an agreement with the district that only allowed them to use in time of emergency as determined by some kind of factor, like a declaration of an emergency or a drought or something like that. Is that what you're thinking?
I wouldn't say drought, because drought is definitely something we don't want them turning that pump on during drought right. times. I would right. say if there was a house fire or a wildland interface fire, or, you know, some type of issue, or even maybe if the district wells power outage and that there was an availability of water service, that they could then turn it on at that point. But those would be very, very small period of time that they would actually be able to turn that well on.
Anybody have any other comments on that?
Just the backflow is an absolute requirement.
Okay.
I would concur with Kevin's assessment.
So basically, Jeff, if I'm hearing everybody correctly, we would send a letter to them that said, well, we've met, the board has discussed it and decided to, you know, have decided against your request just as to drill a well, but there is potentially some reasons why we would allow it under those same items that Kevin mentioned.
Right.
I mean,
And I would suggest that the letter go out as soon as possible, but I think that we probably need to formalize this in a policy that we adopt probably at the next meeting, if we possibly can as well, because we may be getting more applications like this. So this would be kind of a precursor of what our policy is going to provide.
So I have that water service policy ready to rock and roll. We could add a chapter to it about well service within the district and requirements associated with having any well and any new well with these direct restrictions on it.
Kevin, you want to update your policy and send that out for review, and we can add it to the agenda for next month.
Yep, I'll try my best to update that section in there, but I'll let Jeff and Mark wordsmith it so it sounds coherent.
Perfect. In the meantime, do we owe the family that requested, do we owe them an update, or should we just wait until we're able to set a policy and then come back on it?
I think an update would be good just to kind of keep them at bay that we're still listening to them, but that we're working through a policy to take their concerns into consideration.
So Jeannie, maybe you could reach out and say that we'll be discussing this at our September board meeting and invite them to attend.
Sounds good.
Kevin, does that give you enough time?
Yeah, I can get this over to Mark and Jeff by tomorrow.
Good, thank you.
Okay, item 8.6, that's kind of a no action ongoing. 8.7, accounts receivable. Jeannie, Jeff, how did we get our list over to the district attorney or whoever we send that to?
I'll update on that. As I emailed when I sent out the draft agenda last week, I did not send a lien list over to the county. My understanding was that the board would have had to approve that list. It would have required a special meeting to do so. And also some of the accounts receivable are being reduced considerably because some of our customers have applied for assistance through the state low-income household water assistance program. So I'm seeing some, I've already seen one big payment come in, and I expect I've gotten notices for three or four others. So that'll be great. And then there are two other accounts that require personal phone calls that I have not performed well. I have not made those calls to those customers.
All right. Any questions on that one? Okay. Item 8.8, the drought planning for small water suppliers in rural communities. Jeannie, you have an update on that one?
No updates. I was hoping to hear back from what council and you discussed.
Oh, this is, sorry. This is
Calworn.
Yes, sorry. I've got a call in. I have not heard back from Jamie yet. I owe you an update on that as soon as I get it.
And that's just the minimal requirements under SB 552. They're still drafting the manual that for small water systems to be using. I attend those meetings just because it's of interest. I just want to be informed. So I'm not sure what other requirements will be, but I highlighted them in the agenda. It's the abridged water shortage contingency plan, and it's some kind of more formal report on annual report on water supply conditions. And number three, upgrade infrastructure to drought resistance standards. So.
Okay, I will give Jamie another call on that and then follow up with you. That's I made good progress on it and we'll get it closed down this month.
Thanks.
I'll write myself a little note here. All right, that closes item 8, the general business. If there's nothing else in general business, we can move on to the attorney report.
I'll be quick. I've covered everything under 9.1 except 9.2 and 9.3. Regarding 9.2 and 9.3, I put a call into the elections office today, but was unable to talk to it before tonight's meeting. So I'll have an update on that shortly. The VINA GSA fee allocation, I have nothing to report, but the omen of a bad report is hanging over our head. The update is that the demur that was filed to the complaint that was brought against the Vina GSA by Aqua Alliance was denied, and Vina GSA was ordered to file a responsive pleading and answer within 10 days. And that is probably being done as we speak tonight. Once an answer is filed to a complaint, the case is at issue, which means that legal dollars start flying out the window. Discovery is undertaken. Discovery is something that normally both sides engage in prior to the case going to trial. Once it's at issue, either party can move the court and ask that it be set for trial, which hastens things along. Right now, we're looking at courts setting things out for a year into the future, so there's not going to be any hurry if somebody files an at-issue memorandum. But there was a closed session meeting with our attorney, and the attorney was advised that we need a legal budget as quickly as possible, so that we know what we're all looking forward to. I reiterated at that meeting that we are the flea on the back of an elephant when it comes to our ability to participate in the defense of that litigation monetarily. So all I can say is it's going to be a matter of discussion at the Vina GSA board at some point in the future, where we're going to see what a legal budget looks like for the next year or two. I hate to say, but I'm hoping that it can stay in the tens of thousands and not go above that.
So is somebody coming to our rescue here, or how are we going to?
Well, it's, we have the County of Butte as our backstop here.
So this is a mandate.
Chico as our backstop, and attorney's fees for them are routine. But both the city and the county understand that we are not going to be major contributors to a legal defense fund. We can't afford it. So that is the update on the Vina GSA.
Okay, hold on, I'm dying over here.
Do you mean to take over?
No, I think I'm okay. All right. Okay. So directors, so that's the Vina GSA update. You also have here on the shack and this other stuff. Jeff, any updates from those?
Nothing routine, mainly talking about getting some specific projects down. There was a very good shack meeting 2 weeks ago. I was able to attend very briefly, and the proposed projects, in fact, I think there has been prepared a list of those proposed projects that I'll get out to you. The idea is that there will be state and county money becoming available for paying for undertaking those projects. And the idea is to prioritize that list so that we can have some projects implemented immediately. All of them are, I think they were all vetted by the shack, and I think they all are valuable for helping us understand our aquifer and the capabilities of our groundwater supplies. So I'll get that list to you, and I apologize for not having done it last week.
Okay, sounds good, Jeff. Thank you. Item 11, director's comments. Raymond or Kevin, anything to
address? There's just one item that I would like to try to put on the agenda, and I will have to recuse myself of it, but the fence behind the well at the library site, I share it, and it is in disrepair. So if there's an opportunity for myself and the district to partner to get that thing repaired, I would love for the board to entertain that.
Do you want to get a quote, and or yep. Is that something you're feeling weird about, or do you want to get a quote?
I can totally get a quote and have that agendized, but obviously I'd recuse myself from that item.
I've gone by and I've seen the fence for quite a while, so this is not a new one. Okay, anything else, Kevin?
That's it for me. I appreciate everybody's hard work.
Thank you. Raymond?
I have no further comments. Thanks.
All right. I don't think I have anything either, so I'm going to pass as well. So, Jeff, do we need a closed session?
Nope. We've covered the fee. That was the only concern regarding the litigation. On the employment agreement, I can say, and I don't think we need closed session, Jeannie has provided some comments that all look very good, and I think we're ready to have a final draft for execution by everybody.
That's great. All right. Sounds good on that. And thank you for everyone joining. Jeannie, thank you for all your hard work. Jeff, Mark, thank you. Kevin, Raymond, Brenda, thanks for joining. I'm sure you learned a lot tonight and got a good education on what we do here in the Water District.
I sure did. Thank you very much for allowing me to stay with you.
No problem. Thank you very much, everybody. And have a good night. We'll see you next month.
All right, Jeff. Hey, Jeff, are you available Friday?
Yes. Friday, no, unfortunately, I'm not. Thursday, all day Thursday, I'm.
Okay. Do you mind if I give you maybe a jingle? Let me see.
Anytime on Thursday.
Anytime. Okay. I'll try to do it. It's going to be around lunchtime, maybe a little before, a little after.
Perfect.
Okay.
Perfect. Sounds good. I'll anticipate it.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Great.
Thank you.